It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. It's Saturday morning. A little breezy today. Nice, cool little weather.
Good morning.
Not bad.
Good morning, Casey.
Johnny Rogers in the house with me. What's going on?
Well, just been trying to get a hold of this hot real estate market here in Austin. It is still hot. There is still a severe lack of inventory, and people are going to continue to still move here to the great city of Austin.
Oh, absolutely.
So you got people that are, you know, selling their homes for a lot of money right now. But the problem is you don't have really a lot of places to go unless
you're leaving the state. Then yeah,
I mean we're at the point now where
Austin.
I have clients that are looking in the outskirts. Like we're looking in San Marcos. We're looking in Wimberley. We're looking in Georgetown. We're looking in Bastrop.
Bastrop's not a bad spot.
No, but it's you know, some school, you know, they just have preferences over school districts and things like that. So it's, you know, obviously they'd love to be in Eanes or, you know, even AISD or, you know, kind of Round Rock. But still, like, they, you know, your school districts that are a little bit more in the core of town are, you know, really good, and it's just really expensive to buy there right now. So
it's expensive to buy anywhere right now.
It's very expensive to buy anywhere, but... but you know, the market is not going anywhere. We're at, you know, a healthy real estate market is 4 to 6 months of supply available. Right now in Austin, we're at 0.4.
Yeah, that's wild.
So it's been a busy week, so to speak.
No, absolutely.
What about yourself? What's going on with you, Case?
Let's see here.
Good week?
Yeah.
You sell some barbecue?
Yeah, we saw some barbecue yesterday. Got crawfish full menu today.
Nice. And for those that are listening for the first time, Casey is the barbecue pit master. We do have new followers. Every day, our followers are getting, you know, by the tens.
Johnny has that.
They're going up by the tens. But Whitfield's Barbecue, Casey is the official barbecue pit master and owner. Ambassador of barbecue.
And you start our own program. Anyways, no, but I had a good week. Yeah, we're open. We're rocking and rolling. Got about, I don't know, probably 50 or 60 pounds left from pre-sold if people want to come up there today to the window. But no, last night, yesterday, two things crazy happened to me. One, it's like 8 o'clock last night. I'm sitting at Whitfield's or whatever, flipping logs, just put some pork butts on. And I hear this long screech. I'm like, uh-oh. And so I look out, I'm in the pit, and I look out towards the intersection, there's a four-way light or whatever, and this, like, Nissan or something like that, just red pickup truck. And I'm watching, and I'm like, dang. And the red pickup truck kind of spun a little bit, and he was like, all right, and he, you know, trying to pull his truck out of the way. That damn Nissan said, nope. It was messed up. But he went, like, behind the Valero, behind, like...
Was he trying to run?
Oh, no, he did run.
The Nissan did?
Yeah. Took off, went up the street, went behind the Valero, came out the other side, and you could hear him hauling ass. I can say that.
Yeah,
I can say that. Everyone we all got scared for a second, like, uh-oh.
So it's now hiding?
No, so he hauls ass up the street, and you can hear, like, him dragging stuff, and he can hear him just trying to get out of there, and he just took off. And I was
hit
like,
and run.
Yeah. I was like, I'd never seen it before. I mean, he had been drunk or had drugs or something in the car. But it was wild. I'd never seen it. I was like, dang. I heard the streak, and I see this just bow, and it was his fault. He ran a red light.
So, okay, at that point, do police show up to, like...
Yeah, police ended up showing up, but, I mean...
Are you getting questioned? I mean, do they even know that you've seen this?
And there's a couple cars that stopped... you know, with the red truck that saw.
Was the truck okay? I mean, was the guy the driver?
It was all good. Everybody was fine. No ambulance or anything was called, but it was like this kid just—he had been hammered or had something in the car.
You don't run like that, or maybe he didn't have insurance.
You're not going to run like that with no insurance.
Maybe
hit and run—that's like a—I don't know. That might be a felony.
Yeah, it's a felony, but if he—I mean, who knows why? But I'm just saying that could be one of the reasons why he ran. Hell, I don't have any insurance, so.
Well,
if I hurt somebody, I'm screwed.
Either way.
I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying.
Which way is worse?
hitting and running is way worse than anything else. Yeah. If you get in a wreck, just stay there.
Yeah.
Make sure that everything gets situated. But, yeah, there's a reason somebody takes off after they hit somebody.
He hauled ass. I was like, dang. And another thing is, too, this is my other story for this morning.
Okay.
Happened to me yesterday. And let me state first before I get into the story that I don't have a problem with, you know, transgender people or gay people or, you know, lesbian. I don't care. Like, that's your choice. I really don't.
Yep.
It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I could care less. So growing up in the South, you know, what do we say? Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, right?
Correct.
So I'm at Juice Land yesterday. And I go up there and I order my drink or whatever, and I asked the lady or whatever. I said she asked for my phone number for, you know, points
the
or
point
whatever.
Point system, yeah.
And I was like, oh, thanks, ma'am, I appreciate it. And she goes, I'm not a ma'am. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, you know. And then she comes back and gives me
your juice,
my juice and my change back or whatever. And I was like, I appreciate it, sir. You have a gun. She's like, I am not a sir either. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, what do you? I'm sorry for being polite. I laughed and I just pulled away. I was like, sorry for being polite. I mean, if you're in the service industry, like, don't get mad at somebody if we don't like. Come on.
Well, it's just I see exactly what you're saying.
I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, sorry for being polite, and I just pulled off.
So now, I mean, it's so basically what you're saying is like. Because I'm the same way. Like, I'm a yes, sir, no, ma'am, like, everything
yeah.
I say.
So now
like,
I can't even say that. Like, just if you're in the service industry and I don't know what they call, I don't know, whatever. You're in between or something. Like,
what pronoun would you like for me to use?
Don't get offended if somebody is being polite and says yes, ma'am, or no, sir, or yes, sir. Like,
just say thank you.
Just say thank you.
Because now it's a thing.
Like, come on.
Now it's a thing.
Like, kiss my ass. Sorry.
Well,
you know.
That's,
like,
you know.
That's so stupid.
And I get it. Like, and if it's in a more formal setting and you're aware of whatever pronoun it is.
I wasn't trying to. It was just simply being polite. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, gosh, that ran me so hot.
It's
like, this is crazy. Like, really? Anyways, that's all I had. What else we got going on? Texas baseball beat the hell out of Abilene Christian.
Uh-huh.
Too bad Shaka Smart and the boys couldn't.
Oh, man.
God dang.
You got a new basketball coach. You got a new basketball coach.
That's why we got a Beard in here.
Yeah. Hey, Beard's doing a kick-ass job of recruiting right now.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want to get into with you, Casey, is that the NCAA has now come out basically and said that everybody gets one free transfer. It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card to every incoming, you know, freshman or anybody at any point.
Yeah.
Right? And so now if you're a college football and basketball or basketball player, you have the ability to transfer and not have to sit out a day, not have to sit out anything, but you get that opportunity one time. Now, my question to you, Casey, is this. Who does that benefit? Does that benefit the big school like a Texas, Alabama, like a Michigan?
It doesn't benefit the people that are so.
See, I disagree. I think it 100% benefits the blue blood, the big schools, because it's gonna
benefit the ones that haven't been producing in the last 20 years. It's gonna help them out a little bit. It's gonna take a
what do you mean by that? Like,
it's because you're gonna have a guy that's potential two NFL guys, say at Alabama, and then you got a backup that's sitting there. I'm waiting. I'm getting better. I know this is a proven program. I want to go play against the best. Period.
Correct.
But these kids now, you know, I should be a starter, blah, blah, blah. And so they'll switch schools. This is what this new generation is.
Right.
Is You know, so you'll get a lot more guys that don't want to get better. They want to go play right now. And those will, you'll see those five stars start doing their transfers after the first year or, you know what I'm saying, after that. But the thing is, though, is, you know.
But I also see it from the standpoint, like, if.
Like, Michigan's going to get some guys from Alabama, or Texas is going to get some guys from Alabama.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like the guys that are got a well-oiled machine, Clemson, Alabama, you know, Ohio State and all them, they're going to lose some guys. But there's a lot of people that.
But they're also going to gain some guys.
They're going to gain some guys. They're going to gain those one-year guys, I feel like.
Well, and I
think linemen. I think linemen in general aren't going to be like their senior year. I think they're going to be leaving early. I don't know.
Well, it used to be where like you had to be a graduate of a, you know, you had have already graduated in football to transfer to another school and not have to sit out. Now you can go from playing at OU in 2020 to playing for the University of Texas in 2021.
Yeah, that's wild.
And so, I mean, I see it in a couple different ways. I see, you know, maybe a guy who was looked over in high school or didn't develop very well in high school.
But it's every sport, men and women.
Yeah, no, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, let's say, you know, a kid gets missed, right, and ends up at Texas State. And now he's the best player at Texas State, and they get him for a year, and they're like, all right, and he's like, deuces, I'm head up to UT. So now do, like, all the ancillary schools become, like, a farm system?
But the best player at Texas, I mean, you got to give me a better school. Maybe, like, the...
Like what, TCU? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm just saying Texas State, the best player at Texas State probably ain't even... Probably, you know what I'm saying? We got better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, there's always, you know, those random kids from, like, the small schools that
you're going to see a lot of JUCO transfers early.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, and all that kind of stuff where you get... I think a lot of the guys that get skipped over for grades, you know what I mean? I think a lot of them are going to get picked up and get a second chance now.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying with that. I think that too, though, because they're going to get those couple years and they're going to be like, hey, my grades are up now, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, look, I've been playing, I'm in shape. And they're going to get that, you know.
And it's like, okay, who cares where I go? My plan is to play wherever I go for a year and then transfer into the big school.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you go to Creighton and then you end up at Nebraska. You know, maybe you come to.
See, it's going to be a lot more wild. It's going to be a lot more crazy than the basketball.
Yeah.
Because basketball is a lot. You can fit in a lot more places in basketball. Football, as much as it looks like, you know, you can kind of.
An individual game.
It's not. You know what I mean? It's, you got to put pieces that fit to win games.
And fit your program.
Fit your program. So there's guys out there that are crazy talent. Crazy, you know, talented, but a lot of times coaches pass on them because it doesn't fit what they do.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And that's, you know, it's not knock on the players, just what they do.
Just
and
a situation. But I also see, you know, it's finally kind of starting to level the playing field of, you know, players and coaches, right?
Yeah.
Coaches, you know, a kid might go to the University of Texas to play basketball for Shaka Smart, right? And now Shaka's gone.
Yeah,
and the old rule said, all right, well, tough sledding, kid. Yeah. You got to stay there, or you have to sit out a year.
Yeah.
So now that kid's got the ability to, and you're seeing this with Beard that, you know, we got a couple guys that went to Tech, and they were recruited by Beard, and now when Beard takes off to go in a better situation for himself, and that kid's like, well, listen, I came to play for this guy. Yeah. You know, the school, great, happy to get an education here, but I want to be an NBA guy. He's the guy who's going to get me there.
Yeah.
So now I can go with coach to that next spot.
If they'll take you. Yeah.
But I've also heard
rumors. Wouldn't that suck? Yeah, you're good enough for Tech, but you're not good enough for Texas. Sorry there, everybody.
Sorry, guys. Beat it. Pound sand.
Later. A little bit more on the Texas news while we're still in the college. Number two women's tennis. They're kicking ass this year. They beat Texas Tech with a 4-1 win last night. Baseball, we talked about them. Our track and field, we're number seven and number three.
I believe
so. Track and field. So, you know, all our sports are.
How about Charlie Collier?
Yeah, Charlie Collier. Congratulations.
The number one pick in the WNBA draft.
Is that the first time?
I believe so. I think there's only been two number one.
Big 12.
I think there's only
taken.
Been two number one picks in the history of Texas athletics. and that would be Charlie Collier and Kat Osterman was the number one pick for this softball league. Have they had any?
I did see that yesterday.
Yeah.
I forget Kat.
Dude, Kat was
so cool. I was here with Kat. Like, we're same class.
Dude, that's that girl.
That's the homie right there.
Oh, my gosh. Like, she may have been the most intimidating athlete to ever go walk across the 40 acres.
It's so funny. You see all these.
And dominant.
These girls, you know, talking about, oh, they hit a no hit. The one chick that did 21 up, 21 down, that was badass. I'm not speaking of her. But the ones that, you know, they do a couple no hitters or whatever. Kat had like 13 in college.
Yeah, she had like 2 in a week.
You know what I mean?
You know, that.
But, no, but.
Congrats to Charlie.
Yeah,
that's
Charlie,
awesome.
She's Collier. She's second number one overall WNBA draft out of the Big 12. And I'm guessing the other one was the girl from.
Tamika?
No, the girl from Baylor. Brittany Garner.
Oh, Brittany Garner.
I bet she was number one. I think
maybe Cheryl Swoops?
She wasn't Big 12.
I guess that was Southwest Conference back then.
Yeah, you're right.
She was a Tech. She went to Tech.
Yeah.
So whatever conference they were in.
Yeah.
I don't think the Big 12 was even around back then. That was probably old Southwest Conference days.
Probably. Wait, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Good morning, Austin, and good morning, Austinites. Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. We are live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Also, Casey,
yes,
they're now doing live broadcasted shows on Twitch for the week, during the week, for all the Horn FM shows. So soon enough, we think you are going to get a live view of me and Casey Studdard in the studio.
No, I already told him I don't want to do that stupid stuff.
I think, Casey, you could be a star on Twitch. You could have subscribers.
You're going to have to pay me, Twitch.
Well, it wouldn't be Twitch paying you. It would be somebody paying you to sponsor you on Twitch. It's kind of like being on YouTube or maybe the Gram.
Or the Gram. It's a free platform.
I don't know if it's free. Is it free, John?
It's 100% free to set up an account. And the way you make money would definitely be through sponsorships, but also your listeners and viewers can also give you a currency within Twitch itself that you can use to cash out for money too.
Correct.
What? People?
Oh, yeah.
So this is like the fans only thing.
You see, but no, fans only was first
inspired by this.
Yeah, no, but fans only was first set up for musicians, like, you know, for artists to go out there and do their shows, and people could pay.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's why it was set up, and then it went the other way. But I mean,
it went a much different way.
But I mean, at the end of the day, you could have a fans only page, and people have to pay to come watch your broadcast on there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, or whatever podcast or whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? So,
but with Twitch, if you just have to have, you don't even have to have an account. It's free to watch our stream on Twitch.
Gotcha.
You don't have to have any subscription or anything. Just stop by when you ever get the chance during the week.
Now, I will admit, I've been on Twitch, and because over the COVID break, I got into a little gaming. Me and a couple friends bought some PlayStations because you didn't have anything to do. So we got the whole, like, the headsets. You know, got the, you know, playing Call of Duty, which I've never gamed before in my life. But, oh, my gosh, is it fun when you're on there with your buddies and all that. So to learn a little bit more about the gaming world, I got onto Twitch, and you can follow certain people. There's some really good. Nick Merckx is really good. Bobby Poff is good. You know, I've even watched Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. He's a really good gamer, and he gets on. He'll play Call of Duty. He'll play some Madden. So I'm not watching because I'm necessarily fans. What I've watched for is to learn what they do in certain situations. So when I'm confronted with that, I can, you know, win
of course,
or do
exactly,
whatever.
So, yeah.
Dork.
Yes, it's 100% the nerdiest thing I do.
Sure.
But it is so much fun. So
yeah.
Shout out to all my gamers out
Let's get back to this dominant Texas
spring season right now.
Yeah, you guys are really rolling.
I mean, baseball's kicking ass. Softball's, you know, I think they're, no, that's already played. I'm sorry. No, softball's right now, aren't they?
Yeah, should be. I would assume softball and baseball kind of coincide.
Yeah. Volleyball right now sweeps Wright State in the second round. They play the winners of Penn State, North Carolina, AT&T on Sunday.
When I was at TCU, we had just started a volleyball program at TCU, but I remember my friends would go to volleyball games here. My UT friends would go. Supposedly those were just off the chain.
When I was at Texas, my actual roommates were two volleyball players.
Okay.
So like Allison, she's married to Braden Johnson now.
But you would go to the volleyball games here at UT.
Yeah, I mean,
Is it where they play Gregory Gym?
Yeah, so like after our practice and stuff, they'll be playing, I think, like Thursday nights or whatever. But, I mean, it kind of started with that group, like when I was there, and then they didn't win it, and then, you know, they've been on a roll the last, 10 years, just really dominant volleyball, and it's badass. It's fun to watch.
What are they, top 10 team?
Number four.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just cool when you're a Texas fan, when Texas is just dominant in a lot of sports.
Yeah. Well, that's the expectation that Chris Del Conte wants.
And softball is number seven in the nation. And they just lost, first conference loss, I think, 31-4. So they're kicking ass too, so it's just fun, now we just need basketball to be good, we need football to be good, and, things will start coming in.
I'm looking at the text line. It looks like our good friend Jamie Frazier, who will be on the show right after us, he said that he would sponsor you, Casey, on OnlyFans.
All right.
So if you want to get on to OnlyFans, Jamie Frazier is going to be the first person to sign up to see what Casey
Stutter.
That's
what I'm talking about, Jamie. That's what I'm talking about. I got one. I got one.
It'll be Jamie Frazier and your wife. Just tuning in to hear what you have to say.
Yep.
Casey, dealer of meats.
Yes.
Yeah.
The meat dealer. Be careful on that.
Yeah.
It's an OnlyFans, man.
I got all kinds of meat here.
So when we came in from the break with a little Johnny Cash tune, and John was telling me the story that back in, what year was this?
1970.
That the White House calls up and they want Johnny Cash to come perform at the White House, right? So they're all excited, and when he gets there, what do they ask him to play? What famous Johnny Cash song do they really want him to play? John, would you like to answer that?
Folsom Prison.
No.
They wanted him to play Okie from Muskogee, which is a Merle Haggard song.
Oh, did he walk out?
Nah, he was respectful about
it. Yeah, he was. The movie I saw with Johnny Cash, I think he would have given Nixon the old,
one-two,
but that's didn't. Funny. And did he play Okie from Muskogee for him?
No, of course not. No.
Okay, good.
He said no. And like, I think in any other venue, I think you're right, Johnny would probably have left, but it's the White House, so he gave him grace. He played a boy named Sue.
Maybe he wasn't up on his taxes, and that's why
it's true.
That's wild.
But, get it right, guys. You're the White House.
I know. It's 1972. This was like 2 years after Folsom Prison was released. This is, Man in Black was in its full zenith, was out. Mm-hmm. And so he wasn't exactly a no-name guy.
Correct.
It's just insulting. It's just a funny story, though.
Love it. Casey, one of the stories that I really enjoyed, I'm so glad this came out, but did you see where Aaron Donald got into a fight this past week at a club? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, that wasn't at all false. The guy said it wasn't Aaron Donald.
So he comes out and he sues, puts out this statement that I got beat up by Aaron Donald. You see a picture of this guy, and his eyes just swollen shut, broke his nose, eye orbital, and all that stuff. And, of course, he goes after Aaron Donald because Aaron was part of this.
Yeah.
Then the video surveillance comes out of the incident, And not only was Aaron Donald not the one who was punching him, but Aaron Donald and Aaron Donald and the guy had gotten into it just verbally inside the club.
Yeah.
And the guy like took a swing at Aaron Donald and he ducked, and I guess he was holding like a liquor bottle, like a bottle of vodka or something like that. It grazes Aaron Donald's head and he still has a bump.
Yeah.
And that's when they were like, "Hey, you guys take this outside." And maybe it was, I don't know exactly who the people were, but these people like got on to this guy who took a swing at Aaron Donald.
Oh yeah, whooped his ass.
Aaron Donald comes out and sees this going on and throws people off the guy. Aaron Donald actually comes to this guy's aid and probably saves his life.
Yeah.
Right? And so when that film came after he comes to, you know, say, "Oh, Aaron, I got beat up by Aaron Donald," the video comes out.
Like, no, Aaron Donald saved your ass.
The guy's attorney comes out and apologizes to Aaron Donald and said, "We're sorry. You weren't the one doing this." And now they've got to figure out what else they're going to do. But I can't remember the last time that usually attorneys will try to misconstrue a situation. Oh, well, he was responsible for it. But when there's video, you can't. Yeah. And the guy actually, Aaron Donald comes and saves the guy's life, probably. So kudos to Aaron Donald. I'm glad that he stuck to his guns and said,
"Should have been talking crap."
Yeah.
"Should have been swinging bottles. Get your ass lit up real quick." Mm-hmm. It gets all lumped up.
Indeed.
You know, talking back with, we got the draft coming up. I don't know if I even want to talk about the draft. I did go out to Texas practice on Tuesday.
Oh, nice. How did that go?
It was cool. I got first time really talking with Coach Sark.
Cool.
He's a cool cat.
How was the tempo of practice? Was it noticeably any different than what you got? Or are they at a point where we're not going full speed? We're kind of doing some walkthroughs, maybe some
pads.
Installs?
It was full pads. They're thumping. They weren't taken to the ground.
Gotcha.
But
how do you feel like I said, the flow of practice? Was it?
Well,
the one thing I
took from it was they did a lot of situational stuff. And what Coach Sark said, he said, he goes, "The reason why I do this at the end of practice after I, been after y'all all day is because you're mentally, when you're tired, you make mistakes."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, so you're going to have to, like, to be on this team, you're going to have to be able to perform at a high level
when you're tired
and not make mistakes. So that's why we're doing this situational 2-minute drills and this and that when we're all tired at the end of practice. And he said, and the people that can do that are the people that are going to play, period.
Yep.
And I said, "Well, that's good. I'm glad he said that." I mean, that's true, though. You know what I mean? So it's good. And when he's in practice, he's not, he's smart on the side of when they call the play in, like, faster. Like, he's not trying to, like, push the speed, but he doesn't want the quarterback to sit there and talk with his coach. He wants him to get the call and go play.
Yeah.
He doesn't want him to sit here and still not know his playbook. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You should know route tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the crazy thing, too, is that every receiver should know the route tree.
Correct.
And no, you shouldn't be holding a paper. They should be able to say, and I noticed that with the walk-ons. And I understand they're trying to, or, you know, the scout teams. And I understand they're trying to, "Hey, this is what you're running, blah, blah, blah."
Right.
But you should be able to, if you're a receiver, the coach should be like, he should be able to hold up a card and say, "You're running a 9, and, you know, blah, blah, blah," and give him, give him a 1-3-5 or whatever, and they should all know what they're doing.
Any first impressions on Pete Kwiatkowski and the defensive style that he's going to be running with the Longhorn defense? Did you get a chance to watch much of them,
I was paying attention to the O-line, but I'm trying to think,
Okay, well, real quick, let's go back to offensive line then. You got Kyle Flood, offensive coordinator, been the OC and O-line coach at Alabama.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple hell of offensive line at Alabama. How do you see, do you think Kyle Flood can teach how to handle the twist?
Oh, you better.
Because that has been your crutch on this Longhorn team, is that we can't even get the basics down.
Well, I mean, it's just they put their head into it too much, and it happened at practice too. And I saw it, and I was like, "What are you?" I was like, and I
and I talked to one of the kids that it happened to, and I said, and then it was like right before it happened, I was like, man, you can't duck your head on a twist. As soon as you get your head buried, the guy's going to come around the corner on you or whatever. And sure enough, went out there next play, and it happened to him. So I was like, and then so I just kind of walked off. I was like, I can't even. But no, but I mean, they, you know, but it was, you know, I like the tempo. Quarterbacks were good. Hudson Carr, he's spinning the hell out of the ball, though.
Is he?
He has a cannon on him.
Yeah, so Casey Thompson, Hudson Carr, like,
yeah, I mean,
first impression was Hudson was kind of the, no, was
they,
spinning it?
No, they both split time the whole time. So
gotcha.
There's no way you can tell.
Well, okay, Casey, then let me ask you this. If you got two quarterbacks, do you have one?
No, I mean, so that's what everyone's been asking. Like, well, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Even at practice, you can't tell.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they both threw a good ball, but I did notice that Hudson Carr, he's a younger one, right?
Yeah.
He,
like Travis Kidd.
Yeah, he can spin the hell out of the ball.
Awesome.
He has a ball spins when it comes out. Like, oh, shit, this guy got a little cannon on him. But no, I thought overall it was a good practice. You know, they're thudding up and stuff like that.
Did you get a chance? I'm curious to see how the special teams are going to be. Because you bring in Jeff Banks, who's the highest paid special teams coordinator in the country.
I was watching one-on-ones when they're doing all that.
Well, what I've always found interesting, and you saw at Alabama with Jeff Banks, is that the starters are playing special teams. It's not the guy. It's not the backups that I haven't been on the field much. I mean, you're seeing the starters, the starting wide receivers lining up at gunner.
Yeah,
you're seeing
the
starting linebackers line up, you know, to go down on punt return or punt kickoff, you know, or kickoff or whatever.
That's how it is at every university.
I haven't seen that at Texas.
Well, that's how it used to be before when Mac was here.
I mean, I remember the days of seeing Hodges Mitchell back there.
Yeah,
I remember the days of seeing Quentin Jammer.
It used to be like that until
Nathan
Mac
Vasher.
Left. It used to be like that until Mac left. That's the thing is it's some people are some coaches don't they're like, oh, we got to save these guys.
You know, save them for what?
Yeah, I mean, you got to put your best people on the field at all times.
And if like I said, I mean, when kids go to Alabama, they're going there because it's a business decision. They want to make it to the NFL, right? So if you're getting that extra work at special teams, I mean, that's how you make an NFL team. If you're not the guy,
well, yeah.
If you're not one of the top 32 guys at your position, better get really good at playing special teams if you want to make it in the NFL.
No, I mean, that's how it's – that's why it was weird to me when, you know, you had Herman and Strong's groups in here. I was like, why – you know what I mean? So we had our starters on there, but we had some walk-ons like Kareem Mayer and stuff like that – you know, they proved themselves. Like,
sure.
You know, and they went out there and they did their thing and they had their roles, you know, and he'd go down there, fly down there and knock somebody out, do
right.
what he had to do, you know.
Did you play a lot of special teams in the NFL when you were with the Texans?
Kickoff return, really. Okay. That was about it.
You don't want to do kickoff?
Well, no, I mean, we're too big.
Right.
We're linemen. That's for fast guys.
But I didn't know if, like, they put you in on, you know, punt or.
No, that stuff. They're pretty – NFL's pretty – that's all linebacker safeties.
Gotcha.
Linebacker safeties, running backs, receivers, you know, that type. I mean, that's really what it is on
sure.
all special teams. You got tight ends in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I'd just like to see, you know, the tight end position, you know, be utilized
so
at the University of Texas.
So
I don't think
it's
Michael Finley.
I did watch the tight ends practice a little bit, and they're tall too.
Really?
He has two of them because they took that one receiver, moved him down to tight end, the real tall kid, and then they got another. They have two of them. They're real tall, but, you know, you got to be able to block as well. If you're big like that, you got to be able to block. Like, they should be watching film on some of these badass tight ends in the league, or even go look at a Jeremy Shockey, you know, go look at, you know, a Kelsey, go look at O-Buddy down there and – In San Francisco.
Kettle.
Kettle's a bad dude, too. I'd be fun to play with him.
See,
Kelsey, too. I like that type of energy. But, I mean, that's the type – that's what they should be looking at. Like, okay, look, this guy runs bad. He gets some good matchups. You get a safety on him. You get a linebacker on him. And you go out there, and if you're a tight end at this size, you should be able to be a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wild is how the NFL is changing, because you see, you've seen these tight ends being dominant the last, you know, with starting with Gronk and, you know, Tony Gonzalez,
those guys,
you know,
kind of got started with Tony and them,
you know, but now it's like they're really dominant. These coaches are so smart to get these mismatches. You know, that's Shanahan right there for you.
And I'm glad you said that, because that is, I mean, what I've come to understand about the NFL and what the hours and hours that they put into watching game film, all they're looking for in the NFL is a mismatch.
Yeah.
That one tiny little bit, that little edge that you can get. So when you see, you know, when you saw Peyton Manning at the line moving people around, and you see, you know, Tom Brady doing the same thing nowadays, like, the reason they're moving those people around is so they can try to get a mismatch, get a running back with a linebacker,
yeah,
right? Get that fast tight end with an outside linebacker who you know can't compete, clear it out, and give him a one-on-one, and that's how you're getting down the field.
Yeah. So, you know, with those tight ends, you know, I'll be watching them, because, you know, you see the way they route run, but you see the way they block, you know, on like outside, inside zone. And I would be watching that, because these tight ends are getting paid in the league, and we have two tall tight ends that have big frames on them, big bodies, they got big shoulders, they're heavier set kids.
Malcolm Epps being one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'6".
Yeah, him and the other guys, like number 19 or 16 or something like that. Dude's tall as hell. I don't know. Is he a white guy? I don't know if he's a white guy or not. I think he's a white dude. Okay. Or he's light-skinned. Really light-skinned.
Well, Malcolm Epps and Jared Wiley. You might be thinking of Jared Wiley.
What number is he?
18.
Yeah. So he's
6'7".
Yeah. And so he's a big dude, but they got to get – what has to happen is the safety needs to come down and clean both of their asses out so they know what it feels like. You know what I mean? It's one of those things like, oh, you're a big guy. I don't know. I think they're big, but they're a little soft right now. Not soft, but see, I'm used to like a David Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even near 6'6".
Yeah, but he was consistent.
No, but he was
reliable.
But he was a beast.
Yeah.
You know. But no, so it's, you know, look at the tight ends. I think that they, if those guys get tougher, and I think through camp and through, you know, just the coaching staff that Coach Starks put together, I think they'll get tougher through camp and through 2 days, or, you know, through the end of spring ball, through camp and 2 days and the season, to really utilize them, because they're tall. I mean, you put them on a linebacker, but what's crazy now, and you saw it in the Super Bowl, is they're starting to get linebackers. You're not seeing these linebackers like an Urlacher or Ray Lewis anymore. You know, those are those thumpers that are stopping the run game. You're getting these linebackers now that are
fast.
They're very, very fast, but they can still stop the run, but from sideline, their sideline speed is just ridiculous. And so they can cover the tight ends, or fast enough to stay up with the tight ends. So you're seeing these new hybrid linebackers that
you talk about, like a Devin White playing for Tampa.
Yeah, both of their linebackers.
God bless.
They're so fast. But
yeah.
And that's what they do, is and they're able to cover.
They have to be, because
that's where you're going to see a big change. Is you saw how they beat Mahomes was they had fast linebackers that could close the gap to Mahomes, so you had to get rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. For one, and they had the DNs, right? So you have a rush, and you got two fast linebackers that can cover tight ends and be out in the flat.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like that's where the change is going to come in here soon with these linebackers. They're going to be like, no, we need speed.
So
no more veering away
from your Dick Butkus.
Yeah, you're not going to have a lot of thumper. You're going to have some more speed. I mean, they're still going to thump you, but you're not going to have these just, you know, you're going to have these guys that are fat, like almost bigger safety kind of hybrids. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that, you know, when you see the evolution of the NFL offense changing,
yeah,
you know, with getting, you know, ball out of your hands real quick, getting in your playmakers' hands, you better have some fast linebackers.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to be playing catch-up the entire game.
Yeah. You know, going back to practice, though, I thought it was – you said we got to take a break?
Yeah, we'll talk about practice right after this. You're listening to The Horn. This is the Big Ugly Tailgate.
Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. Me and Johnny are in the house.
What up? Morning.
If anybody's wondering, Ashley is somewhere.
Yes, she is in fact somewhere.
She is somewhere.
But that somewhere is not here in the studio.
Or in Austin. But 5 hours, 12 innings, 17 runs. Golly, that's a long game.
You talking about the Dodgers game last night?
Yeah, Dodgers Padres game.
Dude, Dodgers are 12-2. They're saying they could be the greatest baseball team ever assembled.
They get a bunch of.
They got hitting. They've got pitching.
I know they won it last year, but are they getting some new additions this year that are making them even better?
I don't know if I can speak intelligently enough about Dodger baseball to answer all those questions, but I know that they're really good right now.
They're rolling. How are the Mavs? Dang, the Knicks are actually over 500.
That's a shocker.
That's a wild one. No, to finish what I saw at practice, I thought it was a good practice. You know the depth. That's definitely a thing that we got to work on there. But they're crisp. You know what I mean? It's not. There's no messing around. So it's good to see that.
How are the kids interacting with the coaches? I mean, is it like?
Oh, they're into it.
Okay,
you know what I mean. There's no poor me BS, but you do see like the guys that come in that are gray shirts or whatever. They come in the spring.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they're
eyes wide open,
and they hit spring ball, and you can see which ones they are. Because I'm sitting there with Huff, and I was like, oh, he's like, no, that's a spring. And Rolly, those are two in spring. I was like, oh, that's why they're on their ass right now.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
That's
funny. They've been here for like 10 minutes. Better learn quick.
Yeah, it moves a little bit faster when you get to the University of Texas.
Once camp gets here for 2 days, they'll be so much more ahead.
Yeah.
That will be a lot easier for them. They'll know the guys. You won't be just coming in fresh, not knowing anybody, you know. So that's the advantage there.
Would you have done that, Casey? Would you have missed your second semester, your senior year in high school to go to college early?
No.
I had a pretty good time my second semester.
So did I. I had a great time.
I mean, pretty much.
I remember we went camping, like, because in Colorado, a couple more months, come June, May, June, July, it's at night, it gets down to like 60, but you don't even have to pitch a tent. You can sit in the back of the pickup.
Throw a hammock between two trees.
I mean, it's and there's no bugs. You don't have to mess with bugs or mosquitoes or nothing like that. You know what I mean?
Nice.
So we always went camp. Like we graduated, we all went camping.
I think my second semester of my senior year at Westlake, I think I took I had maybe three classes.
Yeah.
And I was so. I had done this.
I had three classes, and I was two teacher aides.
we had this group at Westlake called Teen Teachers, and you go around and mentor young kids in the middle schools or even the elementary schools and teach them life skills and all that kind of stuff. But teen teaching was one of those things where you had to sign a contract, Casey, that said you will not do any drugs, you will not drink any alcohol, you will not do any tobacco. You're supposed to be – like it was like, the Days Confused pledge.
Yeah.
That type of deal.
Well, I strike out two out of three on that one.
Well, and so my...
No cold beer, no Copenhagen?
So my senior year, I did it. And the first semester when I was playing football, that was easy. Like, we weren't doing any of that stuff during the football season.
Not even chewing?
No. Never did it. I didn't do that really. I didn't really get into that until I was out of high school.
Were there kids on your team that...
Well, yeah, on the football team, 100%. But I'm saying within the teen teachers, you couldn't do any of that. So,
gotcha.
Second semester of my senior year, I walked into the Miss Madison's. She was the head of the teen teachers, and I was like, "Hey, Miss Madison, I just got to be completely honest with you. Like, I can't abide by this contract. Like, I'm going to colleges to see where I want to go to school. And yeah, I might drink a beer or two when I'm on these trips." So I was, and she looked at me and she goes, "Johnny, thank you, because you're the first person ever in teen teaching to step down and at least be honest with me that you weren't going to do that."
Everyone else just lied their ass off.
And so then,
I didn't get hammered this weekend, I swear. What's this picture of you?
So I take a step back and, I go do my thing. But then I find out that the teen teachers were having their own parties where they would go and like drink and, you know, do all that. Like, and I was like, you can't, that's not fair. Like,
you didn't get invited because I knew you're the snitch.
Because they knew I'd
probably. You're the snitch.
Stop. Ah, not the snitch.
You would have told. Yeah, false. They knew it. They were like, oh, Johnny will tell on our ass. We can't do it. Can't invite his ass.
No, I just, but I always found that funny.
Well, that's good, though. That's good that you're an honest person.
Had to be. It's just the way I was brought up.
I wouldn't have been offered to join it. They would have just known.
They'd have known. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Casey, you have a dip in class right now. It's not going to work.
Correct.
It's not going to work. But so you said what starts tonight?
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a huge, huge, huge day for Austin, Texas, especially Austin, Texas sports. The very first ever Austin FC MLS game is going down tonight. They're taking on LAFC out in California. No fans at the game.
We're going against LAFC?
Well, we're going against LAFC.
Uh-oh, we're going to get our ass stomped,
aren't
we?
No chance. I'm telling you, Josh Wolf, Davey Arnault, and the boys.
We're going to get beat like 4-1. We're going to be like, crap.
No way. And even if we do.
Make this place into a parking lot.
No way. I'm just telling you right now, the masses, the Verde is going to be coming out. This town's going to be painted green. And we're going to have our very first taste of professional sports here in Austin, Texas. It is a huge day for the great city of Austin.
I mean, I would say it's a huge day.
Huge day.
And
I'm telling everybody right now, give me through the end of the year, and I'm going to have Casey wearing a Austin FC scarf, wearing the jersey. He's going to have on, like, the cleats and maybe throwing some shin guards just for the games.
We'll take a poll, and everybody will be like, no, he probably won't wear that.
All right, I'm telling you, by the end of this soccer season, we're going to have Casey Studdard in a Austin FC jersey.
You can't – I mean, my minimum's 10 grand.
10 grand, what do you mean?
My minimum's 10 grand to wear any of that.
Not
that's my lowest number.